We have been told to rightly divide the word of truth, to distinguish things that differ, not to extinguish things that differ. In our first audio, we saw that the resurrection of Christ in the Acts period was in harmony with the purposes of God for the earth, the promises made to the fathers. And we cannot use the resurrection of Christ in such a clear setting as some launchpad to suggest that Paul had a progressive revelation or the book of Acts was a transition. Christ's resurrection is a glorious truth for all, but in the Acts period, in the Apostle Paul, the resurrection of Christ was in relation to God's earthly purposes, the promises made to the fathers. We shall now look at some other passages of Scripture of Paul, which show this was the constant and unchanging theme of the Apostle during those Acts period years. Before taking a few points from the Great Resurrection chapter 1 Corinthians 15 and the widely misunderstood 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here are some verses from the book of Acts which demand our careful consideration. In Acts 3:19 and 20, Peter tells the Israelites to repent for the times of refreshing, and the Lord Christ Messiah would be sent back to them. In chapter 15, verse 16, we find that James stands up and says, "Look, after this I will return and build the tabernacle of David." How appropriate for a priest king to construct a tabernacle and to sit on David's throne at the same time. In Acts 17, 31 and 32, we have a couple of fabulous verses on Mars Hill where Paul says to the Gentiles, he says in verse 31, "He has appointed a day in which he is about to judge the world." About to judge, for those who want to examine the original language. Paul was not telling these Gentiles in Acts 17 that they were potential members of the church which is his body and destined for heavenly places had they repented. Oh no, he hadn't any progressive revelation at that point. In Acts chapter 23, verse 6, Paul stands up in the Sanhedrin and says, "Men, brothers, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. I am being judged because of the hope and resurrection of the dead." In Acts chapter 24, which is a long way after Acts 13, the Apostle Paul makes a statement found in verses 14 and 15. I'm going to read from a literal translation. "But I confess this to you, that according to the way which they say is a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets." Paul's faith, Paul's doctrine, Paul's teaching, all based upon the law and the prophets, and that includes the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the believers at that time, earthly purposes in view. Verse 15, "Having hope toward God, which these unrepentant Israelites also admit, of a resurrection being about to be of the dead, both of just and unjust ones." I think it's time we believed what the Apostle Paul said, don't you? That he and the nation of Israel had the same hope as found in the Old Testament scriptures. And my friends, if you told Orthodox Israel that a Gentile was to be raised and seated in front of God's face in the heaven of heavens, then the consequences might be a stoning. Paul in the Acts period did not have the truth of the great mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God, as found in Ephesians and Colossians, which were written after the Acts period closed. In Acts 24, our apostle clearly says that he and unrepentant Israel held to the same hope as found in the law and the prophets, the promises made to the fathers. Therefore, when we turn to Acts chapter 26, verses 6 and 7, we will not be surprised to see our apostle say exactly the same thing. Are we ready to listen to Paul? To King Agrippa, Paul says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made to our fathers by God." To which promise? Our 12 tribes hope to attain, serving God fervently night and day. For the sake of this hope, that is, in case we missed it, the hope which the 12 tribes were waiting to attain, the promise made to the fathers, for the sake of this hope, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why is it thought a thing incredible with you that God raises the dead? The resurrection of Christ in the Acts period was according to the promises made to the fathers and all the earthly purposes that those promises spoke about. Now let us consider a letter written by Paul during the Acts period. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 would be the greatest exposition of resurrection found in the Apostle Paul's writings. But do we know that underpinning 1 Corinthians 15 are the feasts of Israel? Do we recognize that the culmination of this chapter is set in the prophecies of Hosea and Isaiah? And if the feasts of Israel underscore this great resurrection chapter, then the resurrection of the believers in 1 Corinthians 15 was to the earthly purposes of God. The feasts of Israel can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 and 23, where Paul refers to Christ, the first fruit. This is the first fruit of unleavened bread, the second feast in the spring group of feasts. The listener might like to consider 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The resurrection of the believers in 1 Corinthians 15 takes place at the sounding of the last trumpet, the Feast of Trumpets being the first in the last group of Israel's feasts. This great trumpet return of the Lord to the earth is anticipated in Joshua chapter 6, the fulfillment of which is found in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says this, "And the seventh angel sounded," or trumpeted, "and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of the heavenly places have become the kingdoms of our Lord." Oh dear, I don't think so. What the Bible really says, that at the last trumpet, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign for ever and ever. The last trumpet heralds the entry of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords into this earthly sphere as the priest-king of Israel. This is the setting of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. "We shall not all fall asleep," writes Paul at that time, "but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a glance of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." The resurrection of Christ in verse 20 and 23 is as the first fruit of those that slept, the first fruit of unleavened bread. The believers at that time were to be the harvest, which took place at the Feast of Trumpets. The resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the believers in the Act period were identified as part of Israel's festive calendar, the feasts of Leviticus 23. The feasts of Leviticus 23 unfold God's steps to bring about the great and glorious kingdom of God on the earth. I don't think the resurrections of Christ and the faithful of the Acts period in 1 Corinthians 15 were to be seen in an entirely fundamental light, do you? Those resurrections were very clearly tied to God's purposes for the earth. Christ coming at the trumpet as the priest king of Israel. Paul does not appear to have progressed much from Acts 13 to this point in 1 Corinthians 15. For those of us who put the Word of God before tradition, the ultimate testimony that the resurrection of the believers in 1 Corinthians 15 is to the restored kingdom of Israel is found in verses 54 and 55. In verse 54, the Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah 25, "But when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and when this mortal shall put on immortality, then at that point, at that last trumpet, then will take place the word that is written." What word was written? The law, Moses, and the prophets. There is nothing in this 1 Corinthians 15 which says the church which is his body or heavenly places. The resurrection here is to the earth. Let the listener beware. "Death is swallowed up in victory," quotes the apostle in verse 54, straight out of Isaiah. And if my listener wants the word of God to clearly reveal truth, then my listener will go and read Isaiah 25, where there is not one reference to heaven, or even the New Jerusalem, for that matter. To further emphasize the earthly hope of the resurrection of this chapter, the Apostle Paul now turns to Hosea in verse 55. "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" Once again, the listener might take the time to read the very prophecy that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 15, and read Hosea chapter 13, maybe chapter 14, but the listener should certainly read the great and glorious culminating verses of chapter 1. "Yet the number of the sons of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea," which does remind us of God's promise to Abraham, "which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people.' There it shall be said to them, 'You are the sons of the living God.' Then the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel shall be gathered together, and shall set over themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel, or regathering. That is the prophecy accompanying the feasts which underline the resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, written by Paul in the Acts period, when he was saying and writing none other things than those which Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. There can be no doubt that resurrection is a fundamental truth. All believers will be resurrected. But the scriptures have spoken quite plainly that the resurrection of Christ in the Acts period was to heavenly places as the priest-king of Israel, from which heavenly places he was to return to restore the kingdom to Israel. The scriptures have also clearly declared that the expectation of the resurrection before the believers during the Acts period was to this same restored kingdom, according to prophecy. These are very clearly dispensational truths of resurrection. And we must distinguish things that are different. It would be valuable at this point to make a reference to an Acts period epistle commonly called the Rapture passage. 1 Thessalonians 4 was written during the Acts period. Doesn't this passage say that all believers were going to be caught away back into heaven? Well, that's not the restored earth or the restored kingdom. My challenge to the listener is quite a simple one. Please read that passage and find one word or one phrase that in any way suggests that the Lord, descending out of heaven, and the believers who went up to meet him as he descends, were going back to heaven. Please find one word or phrase in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through to 18, which says that anyone was going back into heaven. But unfortunately, the rapture tradition says that, but is that true? Oh dear, wouldn't it be quite a sad thing if tradition was patently contradicting the Word of God? But let's have a brief consideration of this passage. We will find that in its major points, it is a précis of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This section is about the believers who have died. And in verse 14, Paul says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, bracket, as the first fruits of those who sleep, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 23, close the bracket, even so, in like way, just exactly like that, God will also bring with him all those who have died in Christ. So Christ died and rose from the dead. So the believers will be raised out from the dead. Christ the first fruits. And when will the faithful of that time be raised? We are left in no doubt that we have the same trumpet of God in verse 16. The feasts underscored 1 Corinthians 15, and here they are again in 1 Thessalonians 4. And as we have shown in 1 Corinthians 15, the scriptures prove the resurrection is to the restored kingdom. If it was the resurrection of prophecy out of Isaiah 25 and Hosea 13, in 1 Corinthians 15, the feasts being the picture of the great kingdom of heaven on the earth, then that's exactly the setting of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We have not rightly divided the word of truth. We have not distinguished things that are different. We have changed 1 Thessalonians 4 by dragging later truth revealed to Paul, the truth of Ephesians and Colossians and the hope of heavenly places, by wrapping it up in a glossy tinsel theory called the rapture, so that what is the descent of the Lord according to the schedule of the feasts of Israel, the descent of the Lord out of heaven as the priest king of Israel to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem, we have denied that and twisted it to mean that 1 Thessalonians 4 is saying we're all going to be snatched off to the heavenly purpose sphere. The problem is, dispensationally, 1 Thessalonians 4 is not about us today. Neither is 1 Corinthians 15 about us today. We will be resurrected as they will be resurrected. But we are not going to be resurrected to the earthly purposes as outlined in Israel's feasts. Snatching a passage out of its earthly context and reading into it an above heavenly context is a tragedy. That is not rightly dividing the word. The listener might also like to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to affirm the prophetic Old Testament setting of the hope of Thessalonians. The resurrection of Christ during the Acts period, as found clearly in the ministry of the Apostle Paul during that time, was the exact same relationship that Peter gave to the resurrection of Christ, that he was raised to sit on David's throne and had ascended into heaven as the priest king of Israel. From, that is, out of heaven, he was to return to set up that great kingdom of heaven on the earth according to prophecy. The resurrection of the believers of the Acts period was to be raised to meet the Saviour as he descended out from heaven to set up that kingdom of prophecy. Well might we remember Acts 1:11. The two men in white clothing said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the way you have seen him going into heaven." And in Acts 1:11, it was from the Mount of Olives and an ascent through the clouds. In Thessalonians, it's a descent through the clouds to the same Mount of Olives. During the Acts period, the resurrection of Christ and the faithful was to the earthly purposes of God on the earth. Are we part of those resurrections? Do those resurrections of the Acts period relate to us today? The answer is resurrection is assured, but our resurrection is not to the earthly purposes of prophecy of that time. At the end of the book of Acts, Israel and the earthly purposes associated with her were put to one side. Israel had, through the book of Acts, constantly been disobedient and contradicting. In Acts 28, from verse 25, we read that they, Israel, were let go. And Paul pronounces the prophetic judgmental prophecy of Isaiah chapter 6. After that, Paul was given the revelation of the dispensation of the grace of God, which contains a new aspect of the resurrection and ascent of Christ, and a correspondingly new aspect in the matter of the resurrection before us believers today. And I leave my listener to prayerfully contemplate the distinguishable differences as found in the resurrection, ascent, and the title and position of Christ in these two passages from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, starting from verse 15. Therefore, I also, hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, the ones believing, according to the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Christ, in raising him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and authority and power and dominion, and every name being named, not only in this world, but also in the coming age, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. In this epistle, Christ is not ascended as the priest king of Israel, according to the order of Melchizedek. And this church, which is his body, verse 23 says, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Moving to chapter 2, we read about this power in us, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. These glorious passages of Scripture relate to a heavenly purpose of God, which purposes cannot be found in Moses, the law, and the prophets, and cannot be found in Paul's writings during the Acts period. Praise God for the principle of right division. Praise God that my listener can see the differences between the feasts of Israel and the earthly purposes, and the great and glorious above heavenly purposes of God, in which purposes we find our place. Blessed indeed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, or the heavenly places.